I want us to watch a video that tells a much deeper story than you might on the surface think. So look at this. See a story that speaks of God's provision, how that provision's changed, and how we can be something involved in ensuring God's provision gets to where it needs to be.
I'm Genesis Achai. I am an agriculturalist. I have been doing this work for 10 years, supporting rural farmers so that they can feed their families. And all of my life, I've lived in northern Uganda. Much as it looks green now, in the dry season, all this will be gone. Uganda is a very beautiful country with a lot of diversity. And it is always referred to as the Pearl of Africa. It has fertile soil, which provides a very potential ground for farming. I lived during the Civil War in Uganda, and it was very frightening. I remember in my school, we would sleep with windows open, and we would put our shoes on, just in case the rebel would come to abduct the students. So you could go through the window and try to escape from them. And that is how our life would be. During the war, people were living in internally displaced camp. The generation that were born during that time did not learn how to grow crops. So that knowledge was lost. And also with the climate change, the rainfall is very erratic and people don't know when to plant their seeds in the soil. We lost a number of people in northeastern Uganda due to famine. Because of crop failure. That was very serious because that used not to happen. This situation is heartbreaking and is affecting a number of people like Barbara.
I am a widow and I live with my parents and 11 children. Four of them are my own, but I also look after my sister's children after they got remarried. It is difficult to sustain the number of people living here. And my parents are elderly, so most of the responsibility falls on me. But I like sharing with the children. When we cook food, we sit down and we share. We tell stories. I really like that. My heaviest challenge is raising the money for school fees. Sometimes the children will be sent home from school because I did not have the money, so I was really worried. Another challenge is rainfall. Especially last year. There was a prolonged dry spell and I suffered crop failure that greatly affected our production in the first season. There is the big difference in farming compared to when I was young and growing up. It is very unreliable. But if I don't farm, I have nowhere to get food. So that is how I get motivated to keep on working hard.
JLH has been supporting Barbara for the last 2 years. Field staff trained her on basic agricultural practices. She's provided with seedlings that she has been planting.
We were trained on a lot of different vegetable productions. And most importantly, we were very happy when we received the seeds because some people are not able to buy them. I also learned the correct time for planting watermelons and all the other vegetables through the training. When I plant my crops in the field and I see they're growing well, I feel happy and hopeful for what will come.
I believe that in the next 2 years, Barbara will become a model farmer and people will come to learn from her. We help people in a holistic way. And we share our faith and joy in Jesus Christ. And this year, we invite you with us in a very special initiative to help farmers called Chakcham, that means good harvest.
We have been taught in the church that when crops are harvested, we should bulk them together and sell them as one through our brothers in Chakcham. We are very hopeful because while other companies come with very low prices and force you to sell at their price, now Chakcham always gives us the best price in the market. Next year, I am planning to grow a lot of onions, and I'm very confident because of the training. Now I feel very happy, but I want to do even better than what we see now.
This harvest, BMS and our local partner JLH will be doing all we can to support farmers in need. A gift of £12 could enable a farmer like Barbara to safely store and sell their crops through Check Cham. Please give what you can today.
That's the video that tells a bigger story. I want us to think about that. The final verse that Adam read to us was this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Trouble. At first sight, when you watched that video and you saw the man walking down the path and you saw Barbara, this woman who smiles throughout this video, did you notice that? It's just fantastic. You see her walking down a pathway and the green, the vegetation on either side. You ask yourself the question, what exactly is the problem? Getting enough food. It looks green. It looks productive. Actually, Gulu, the region that she was living in northern Uganda, was at one time one of the country's biggest bread baskets. It was so productive because it was a flat plain, very fertile soils. And all of the circumstances surrounding that, the adequate rainfall, perfect sunshine, the seasons that were consistent, all of that meant that plants grew, crops were brilliant, and people survived. And actually, if anything, it looked like a perfect advert for God's creation provision in this world. But then there's human beings. And things change. 20 years of civil war affecting the region interrupted, if not destroyed, that community of self-reliance that Gulu had. Centuries of knowledge and experience that was passed on from one generation of farmer to the next, teaching this is how you grow, giving tips, showing timing, learning how to deal with difficulties, all disappeared. Motivation to plant was gone because security of the land was disappeared, because who knew when soldiers might come and take it all away. And that, in more recent times, has been even further complicated because of climate change. So much for the so-called breadbasket within Uganda. But actually, that's a common development all across the world. When I first worked in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, those sorts of countries were regarded as the Asian rice basket. They were the places where food production was so intense, so productive, that it was transported across the world. Burma, China, similarly. And then came war and conflict, and it all changed. And of course, the other obvious example we could give is Ukraine, regarded as Europe's breadbasket. And conflict has come, and we've seen what has happened to the crops. So this is not unusual. This is what is happening in our world. God provides an enormous potential, and humanity, war, neglect, climate change, strips it all away. So how do you survive and look after a household that typically would number 8 in a country like Uganda? Well, as Christians, I want to ask the question, how can we use scripture to teach us and give us confidence that God is at work in that situation and is still the provider? How can we answer some of those questions and recognize that even in these situations, these are days of plenty, which is the title of this harvest theme? Well, the passage that we looked at in John's Gospel speaks volumes about the fact that in this day and age, we will have trouble. It's not a possibility. It's not even just quite likely. We will have trouble. It was the case for the disciples. It was the case for the early church. It is the case for us today. We live in end times. We have been doing since Jesus left this earth. And in all of that time, we are in days of trouble. And in that situation, very often crises come, stresses come, and they come in all sorts of forms, often through things that we don't have anything to do with, unexpected situations. And we can't control the trouble. We can't control the distress that comes through the trouble. But what we can control is our response to it. So let's just look at this a little bit more. Sometimes with our human eyes, things look really bad, as when that story was unfolded concerning Barbara. This is what we read in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. This verse in Genesis tells us we will continue to have those seasons. We will continue to have summer and winter and harvest as long as the earth endures. It's a biblical promise. Now, these seasons, without question, are being impacted. They become less certain. The rainfall has become more erratic, and climate has become more extreme. And in all of that, as we look at it with our human eyes, there seems to be a loss of control, particularly because of climate change. I want to bring us back to the Bible and what God says about it, because what appears to be out of control trouble for us is still under the control of a God who is sovereign. God is ultimately in control, and scripture is really clear that God is sovereign over everything. But here's the interesting thing. Within that sovereignty, God gives us responsibility. He gives us an obligation. And it was given by God in the Garden of Eden to Adam and to Eve. And it was to have responsibility, dominion over God's creation as his stewards, made in his image. And under this mandate, which wasn't taken away, we can continue to have choices to spread resources and to act, to halt damage, to mitigate those things which appear to be apparently out of control. So let's look at that in the very specific example of Barbara in our story. First, what does God say about times that look as bleak as the circumstances that Barbara faces. Let me direct you to a really challenging verse of scripture. Psalm 37, verse 19. In times of disaster, so it doesn't suggest disaster doesn't come. In times of disaster, it says, they will not wither. In days of famine, so famine is going to come, they will enjoy plenty. What? That's quite shocking, isn't it? The suggestion here seems to be actually God has some control, that God has a plan, that he will still be the provider. And that the goal here is not just that they won't wither, not just that they will survive. It goes on to say that they will enjoy plenty. How can that possibly be when we consider some of the circumstances that people face today? Well, let's look at how it works out in the lives of this lady, Barbara. And that's one of the reasons I really love these BMS videos, because they don't just talk to us about a theory or a concept. They use real people in real situations, given real solutions from God. And Barbara is a widow. That's tough enough. She's bereaved. She's in Gulu in Uganda, lives with her parents, and she has 11 children to look after. Four of them are her own. The remaining seven appear to be her sister's. Her sister's remarried. I don't know the circumstances behind that, but perhaps it's a cultural thing. Maybe the new husband didn't want responsibility for her seven previous children. So Barbara has taken them on. So we're looking at this ordinary but wonderful human being who's doing the right thing, who's being responsible, who's showing love in a great country in which God had provided so much. But then, in all of that, as in so many other places in the world, circumstances not of her making have turned that reliable provision into serious trouble. 20 years of conflict stripped away the expertise, the confidence to replant has gone. All the development, all the investment in the country that should have been taking place over that time hasn't taken place. Add to that now human impacts, climate control, wildfires that come with it, and famine. And over time, life has become harder and harder for Barbara to raise her children, to feed them. And then the thing that she says is so important to her, to send them to school, because she believes that paying for them to be educated will give them an education which will buy their freedom to do more in this world. And Barbara, from her own testimony, tells us that farming has completely changed, even in her lifetime. It's much harder. And so you get that sense of disaster coming on her. This widow considering, how can I support 11 children under these circumstances? And the pressure must have been immense. So how can Psalm 37 possibly apply in her circumstances? How can God's promise and plan be realized, be put into practice for Barbara and others who are similarly vulnerable? And this is where BMS, World Mission, and their partners, JLH, come into the picture. JLH, not to be confused with JLS, who, as Margaret would tell us, is a boy band. Now, JLH stands for Justice, Livelihood, and health, three amazing words that could possibly be included in a title of any organization that says something about who they are. They're an NGO, a non-government organization working in Uganda. JLH was founded with help from BMS, mission workers. Its staff are supported by JLH, and the funding comes from people like you, supporters of BMS. And JLH doesn't just help in transforming the lives of farmers. It provides spiritual support for churches. It provides legal justice. It fights for legal justice for the vulnerable. It supports children with disabilities. It drills boreholes for communities that don't have clean water. It's doing amazing things. And for Barbara here, they're committed to restoring first hope. Hope through giving her basic agricultural training. Secondly, they provide seeds that otherwise would be unavailable to her, this quality of seed, and unaffordable. And third, having shown her how to then plant those seeds and get the best out of them, provide her with the backup of this organization called Check Chem, which means good harvest. And what they do is they invite individuals to store their grain with them, and they sell it then together, getting the best possible market price. So they're treated fairly without being devastated by the corruption of the middlemen and their inscrutable habits towards them. And it does something else. It gives Barbara a sense of pride and confidence and a sense of value in a community that often wouldn't do that. Did you notice that the representative from ChemCheck, or from JLH, sorry, spoke about Barbara being a potentially a model farmer within 2 years? That means she'd be able to pass that knowledge on to other people. And so it spreads good harvest. This whole principle, like the good news, spreading through the people who receive it. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it, about the way mission operates generally. Isn't that how Jesus operated? Let me read to you a verse from Acts chapter 10, verse 38. That shows you something about the integrated, holistic approach that Jesus had. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Emotional, spiritual, practical help. Physical help. And JLH, established with the help of BMS, supported by BMS, funded by you and me, does just that. It puts good people on the ground, working as God's people to support the most vulnerable people, through really just action. As followers of Jesus, isn't that what we are called to do? We share our faith and we do good to others as God commanded us, those two things coming together. Sometimes you look at the situations and our circumstances don't tell the whole story. Our eyes see one thing, and that's the focus that we have, and it can seem all overpowering. But above all of that that we see is what God is doing, the sovereign creator God, our refuge, our strength, our provider. Above all the trouble, God has overcome. He's in charge. And then always underneath are his everlasting arms, holding us and sustaining us. Do you see the chain, the links in the chain? God's people use their funds, what they've got to offer. That's us today. We supply BMS, who then have the resources and contacts. Then JLH use their expertise, and Barbara and other farmers are the beneficiaries. And God provides, even in famine and drought, through us doing our bit. It's a perfect example of how God uses disasters to bring in good. He even uses climate change to bring in days of plenty and wake us up as his people. The question I have for us this morning that I leave you with is this. Do you see yourself? Do you spot yourself in one of the links in that chain? Or are you just part of a church where someone else does it? Are we going to be used today, this week, as vessels by God to bring blessing and real transformation to other people? That's my challenge. I want to encourage you to think about what you might do this week to give, maybe to do it today. Yeah, if you want to give money and put something directly into the bank, into the church's bank account, do so. Just put on it the note for Harvest Appeal. Just Harvest Appeal, and we'll know what to do with it. If you want to do it with the usual way through money, if that's what you do, do so, but make it clear what it's for. And I want to encourage you, let's represent God's character and show generosity as we do this.